Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 88 of From Long Distance to Marriage. This week we wanted to talk about something that we've learned a bit as we've got further along in our relationship and our marriage, and that's making sure that you have an aligned or shared future vision. And that's kind of to do with where you want not just your relationship but your joint lives to go together. Do you want to kind of dive into this, because this is something that you've kind of started for us, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I guess it's I think it's, you know, life is something that can happen to us if we're not careful, and it's just from one day to the next it's reactive. You know, I have to do this today because this has just happened, or, you know, that can happen on really small things and bigger things. And careers is a good one. People just say, oh, I didn't intend to stay in this career. It just kind of happened and I'm here. I still am 10 years later. And it happens with relationships too. And then, you know, you hear people who say, you know, you get together, you love each other, you want to spend time together and do everything together, but you kind of go through the motions of letting life happen to you, and eventually you end up growing apart, you want different things, you had never really kind of discussed what the future looks like for the two of you. So for one of you it's, oh, actually I want this now, and the other one wants something else now, and you end up growing apart, and it's difficult, and you have to kind of try and get back together with it. And so the idea of a shared vision is that at some point you can sit down and say, what do we want for the future? And you can shape it together, and that could be from where you live to how many children you have, or, you know,
when you want to retire,
what retirement looks like. Do you need a lot of money for these things? Is money important to either of you, neither of you, one of you? You know, it's something that needs to be done, I would say, at the right time. You know, neutral ground, maybe, like go out for a nice lunch or over a glass of wine in the evening. It's not a frantic thing. You know, we have really good conversations like this in the car, or if we're just out for the day, walking around, and your head's kind of clear. And you don't have to necessarily think too hard about it, because it's not set in stone, but you can kind of just talk ideas and then come back to it a few days later and say, you know, that thing you said, I'd never thought about that before, but that sounds really interesting.
Yeah, and I think it's, like you said, it doesn't have to be set in stone, but what happens is if you have a conversation about, you know, what you want life to look like. And again, this could mean, you know, do you want to send your kids to private school? How are you going to try and make that happen? Where are you going to find the extra funds? Does one of you eventually want to stop working? Do you want to open a business together? You know, there's all these things. Do you not want to do the 9-to-5 so that you can work for yourselves, have your own business, retire early? Do you want to have multiple properties? Like it looks different for everyone, but I think people kind of either often don't have these conversations, or they do and wouldn't it be nice if one day we did this? And it's so easy to not say, okay, do we actually want to do that? How do we achieve this? And it's not like you're making a contract with each other or anything like that, but it's getting these ideas and these desires and potential plans out in the open. And then what you find is that then you start to talk about them a little bit more, and then the big decisions, or even not the big ones, but, you know, the ones that have some impact on your life, the decisions you make in those situations are affected by this idea that you've talked about.
Yeah, you know, a dream is just sort of something that sounds nice, but by you write that down and you actually commit to it, it becomes a goal and it's something you achieve. You know, and a good example of that maybe is everyone says, oh, I'd like to be in good shape, I'd like to be fit, but that doesn't really mean anything. There's no urgency there. But you could have this conversation and say, wouldn't it be great if we ran a marathon together? Well, now you've got an actual tangible goal, and you know what you need to do to get that. You know, that'll be different for everyone. Some people will need to lose weight to get there. Some people are terrible at running and need to practice with endurance, whatever. But the point is, there's a goal, and you think, oh, that would be great. Why don't we put our names down for that one in 2 years? We have 2 years to really get in good shape. And then you achieve that, and you can do it with anything, you know. So, and it also works for money. We've got an episode or two on money. And the thing about, you know, some people would say they're more inclined naturally to be a spender or a saver, and it's kind of hard to act in the way that you're not. So it's hard to kind of just put money away for what you think is no reason for the sake of it. But if you actually sit down and say, you know, actually, it'd be great if we could retire early, or we're going to, as you said, send our kids to private school, or we want to have multiple houses, or we want to invest in real estate in a few years. And then all of a sudden, you've got a reason to put money away. And then it becomes a game. It's like, oh, how much more can we save? What if, how do we earn a bit more to save a bit more? It becomes like a mission between the two of you. It's something you're doing together, which always makes it more fun and rewarding, rather than just, well, I've got paid and I'm putting all my money into this account for no reason. And then that's a chore. And then you're going to argue about that because you feel that the other one's making you do this and maybe you're resentful. But if you've got a reason to do it and you're working towards it together, you've got a couple goal. And a lot of couples don't do this. So you can talk to your friends and even your family and it's like you realise they don't do that and they're very separate.
Yeah, I think the separate thing is the part that it's hard to get your head around, because when you have, like you said, a common goal and both of you are on board, then it's more likely to happen because you can hold yourself accountable. Everyone says it's easier to have a gym buddy than just going on your own. So if you have a goal that you're working towards together, you're more likely to hold one another accountable and motivate each other.
And it also really develops the relationship too, though, because you're doing more together and you're more involved with, and you're seeing another side to that person. So you're seeing their ambition now, and you're seeing their, maybe their creativity in finding solutions to problems that come up. It's just a whole different dynamic to just maybe normality.
I think it's important to remember that these goals and visions can change, you know, a lot, and, or there's things in your life that can change that will then affect these goals and visions. It might mean a career change, or you have to relocate because of a job or family or whatever. And you just need to be really fluid and understand that you might have to adjust these things. And what you wanted maybe 5 years into your marriage isn't going to be what you want 10 or 15 years into it. And that's why it's important to keep having these conversations and talking about what that looks like and what it all means and how you're going to adapt. And I think it's really important to not get too hung up on it, in a sense that you don't want to, I don't know, get really mopey if the plans have to change, you know, like if, you know, if your parents,
life does still happen.
Yeah. Like if your partner's parents die and it completely changes everything, or, you know, or if you do have to move, or if, you know, your child situation, you know, there's all kinds of things that can affect it. So I think it's a weird balance between having it as this nice abstract idea and something that you're actually going to work towards. So you need to be flexible. I mean, I think, you know, you're talking about having something like concrete to save for. I think everyone can agree it's good to have like a what if savings account. Like if the roof needs to be replaced, or, you know, the worst happens, you know, everyone can agree on that. But you get to an amount where you think, actually, that's pretty good. Do we need to save anymore? Like what are we doing here? And something that might, it's sometimes you don't know what you want, and that's okay. Like really long term, things seem so far away. It's easy to say, oh yeah, I'd like to retire by the time I'm 50 or whatever. But it's hard to know what that means, because we haven't been there yet. You haven't been that age. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what your life could look like. It's so easy to get stuck in the like day to day, in the present, and not look above that or beyond that. So something that we've done, I don't know if you found it somewhere or if it was just your idea to write down kind of this.
No, I found that, yeah.
Yeah, so something that Rich did and then asked me if I'd be interested in doing is basically writing down like your ideal day if you had the life that you wanted to build, or what that life looks like. And we both did it, and there were some nice similarities and, of course, some differences and stuff like that. But writing it down always makes things feel a little bit more concrete. Especially, you know, we both love to write, so it almost breathes it into being, if that makes sense. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that process, or where you found it or anything?
Well, the process of it's, yeah, I mean, it's basically, the purpose is what you just said. It makes it more concrete. Now it's something that you kind of can go to achieve, rather than just, that would be nice, and it's sort of whimsical, and it's not really going to happen because, well, you're not clear enough to act on it, and it's just, And no one really believes it either, do they? It's like, oh, yeah, that's not for me. Like, other people have that. But, you know, you can change your life if you know what you want to do with it. So, I mean, you can do this one of two ways. You can talk beforehand. Like we said, you know, go out for a walk or whatever and just talk and kind of get an idea of what you each want. and then write it, or you can do it individually and then kind of talk it over. But yeah, you basically just kind of sit down and think, if I had all the money in the world, what would I be doing? Where in the world are you living? What time of the day are you waking up? Do you work? Do you have a project? Do you have a hobby? Do you start a business or a charity or whatever? What do you do? Do you work 1 hour a day, 12 hours a day? Have you got kids? What car are you driving? What are you doing for recreation on that day? Are you seeing or talking to family and friends? It's just kind of, what would you do in an ideal day or an ideal week? If a day's sort of, you want to cram everything in because you only get one shot. But it's kind of, how do you see your life living? And then as a result of this, you can say, okay, well, I'm living in the Bahamas, or I'm still living here because my friends and family are close by, and I'm working 7 hours a day on a new project I'm doing, and you may have a money goal in this, you may be saying my income is this, but maybe you won't, it's up to you. But the point is, you really put deliberate conscious thought into what your life looks like,
and you can work. I think this exercise makes it really easy to work backwards, so firstly, maybe you don't know what you want your life to look like in 5, 10 years, or whenever you're giving yourself this goal to work towards. But by sitting down and thinking about it and actually writing it, you're just kind of giving yourself permission to imagine what you want. And then, say it means that you only work 3 hours a day, or you work for yourself, or maybe it means working in a really high-powered corporate job, whatever it is, then you can work backwards. Okay, I want that really high-powered corporate job. I need to get this qualification. So now I need to make sure I'm enrolling in this course or going back to university. It might mean I only work 3 hours a day and I have people that run my business. That means, okay, we need to look into starting a business and growing it quickly, getting investors. Or it might mean I want to run a coffee shop and I want to work there every day and I don't mind working from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m., And then you work backwards from, okay, so this is what I want. This is the next step. And then you can scale it down to the immediate, what you do next. And it doesn't have to be something that you jump into right now.
But you raise a good point there, though, that the real benefit of this is that you can then take action from it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you may think, I want to have loads of money or a big house, but not necessarily how to get there. But if you've got this, you think, I want to work in a high power job, and to get that, I need to have this qualification so I can get this experience. You know what your next step is.
Yeah.
Because it helps you formulate an actual plan and take action. Nothing happens without action, but it's hard to know what action to take. Or you can feel like, well, if I do that, what do I do afterwards? What's the purpose of me doing that? And this is really common with education. We ask our societies very much, you go to school and then you kind of get your qualifications and then you try and find a good job. And I'm not saying there's necessarily anything wrong with that, but, at a very young age, you're like, well, I need to know what subject to mm-hmm. do, so I know what job to get. And then you kind of feel trapped in that you can never change your mind on that. But if you have it reverse engineered almost, you can say, okay, well, this is my end goal, and to get, if you want to be a surgeon, for example, you're not going to be a surgeon without, I hope, certain qualifications and experience. So you think, okay, well, I'm going to need to do, and it's so easy now, you just go on Google to find out what qualifications you need, or you find the resources to give you the information you need. You can even contact nowadays like surgeons directly and say, hey, what's the best way for someone to get into this? But from that, you can find out what you need to study, how many years that takes, what's the next step from that, is it like a placement or an internship or whatever it is, how many years of on the job training do you need? And you can kind of just say, okay, well, this is going to be a 10-year path before I get there, or a 20-year path, or a 5-year path, whatever it is you want to do. But the point is, you can just kind of learn then what to do, and then you can write that down, and you can, this is step one, and it becomes a really concrete plan for your life. And that's just on the career side. The same thing happens if I want to retire at 50, how do I do that? Okay, well, there's resources out there to say how much money you need, as a multiplication of your spending. So you can say, if I spend 10 grand a year, there are retirement calculators that say if you spend 10 grand a year, you need X amount of years saved up to cover all that. So, it just makes everything more sort of achievable and realistic. So you can say, I know how to get that, rather than it just being something, I'd love to do that, but actually it's never going to happen because I don't know what to do to make it happen.
And this all sounds very structured and blah, probably, to a lot of people. But, you know, it's like we've talked about, and probably comes up in most episodes, you know, like your marriage is a, kind of like a business. And then in some ways, your life and your goals are like that. You know, you do have to have some structure. Like, you don't have to, like, wake, eat, sleep, breathe this goal every single day. But you do need to have something to work towards if there's something specific that you want to achieve. And just kind of willy-nilly hoping that just getting up and doing the things you do every day are going to get you where you want to go, like, it's not going to happen. And I think, you know, you see these quotes all over the place that, like, you're not going to achieve anything different by doing the things that you've always done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have to change something if your vision is different than what you're doing now.
But, you know, and actually, if you're in a relationship, there's a good chance that you've experienced this anyway. You know, if you're long distance, it depends on how far into it you are. You know, you may have had the conversation about where you're going to live, because that's an obvious conversation that needs to come up. You have the process, if you're close in a distance, of, okay, how do we do this? How do we move? Is there visas? Are there visas involved? You know, are there plane tickets involved? Are there costs involved? You do this anyway. It's just on a different kind of scale.
Mm-hmm.
If same thing with planning a wedding. You know, how you say, okay, well, what date are we getting married? Okay, right, well, we need to book a venue. We need to book a photographer. You have this list and you tick it off as you go. It's the same thing, but for your life. And there's nothing, it doesn't take anything away. It doesn't take away any spontaneity or in-the-moment magic or anything. Like you said, it's not all day, every day. But it's just, we know where we're going and a rough plan to get there. You know, that's kind of the point of it. And then it just helps alignment too. So this kind of ties together a few of our episodes, and we have an episode on managing your money together, closing the distance, making a life together, making a home together.
Deciding if you want to have kids.
100%, that's a really important one, you know, because if it's in your vision that you do or don't have kids and that's not lined up, that's a conversation to have.
I think we should talk about this aspect, yeah. So if people's visions don't line up, or someone is hesitant to get on board with something, and we've experienced that to an extent, I think, I don't know if we've talked about this before on the podcast, but Rich eventually started working in the finance sector, kind of mortgages and savings and retirement, you know, pensions kind of stuff. And I think it was a bit of a harsh awakening for you, like, oh shit, this is what we should be doing. We're nowhere near this. And of course I wasn't in there every day, and I really don't have a financial mind really. And so Rich really had to persuade me to have these conversations and talk about, you know, where we were headed with what we were doing and what we weren't doing and what did we want things to look like. And, you know, because if it wasn't happening, we weren't going to achieve these things. And I guess it might be helpful if you talked about how you eventually got me on board, you know, because if we have couples listening to this, yeah, I really want to do this, I can't get so-and-so on board.
I don't really remember, but, you know, it kind of like everything we've said before, whereas how you approach it, and you, I kind of guess I kind of made it clear how important it was to me and to us to look, you know, and for us, there's an urgency there of, like, you know, look, we've spoken about going to America more to see your family, potentially retiring there. That's not going to happen unless we actually start taking the necessary action. So I suppose kind of making it personal to you makes you think, oh, okay, yeah, we do need to have this conversation. Because there can be a tendency, not necessarily with you, but people in general, to say, if you're not sure what it may entail, it's, I'll deal with it later. And you bury your head in the sand. And of course, the longer you put it off, the harder it is. You know, that I as I got older, like, I kind of, my outlook is it's never going to be easier than it is today. This is as easy as it's going to be. And then that kind of motivates me to think, oh, okay, well, that I'll do it. Because if you're putting it off, because you think it'll be easier another time. And if you just remind yourself, it's going to be harder next time because your current behaviours and patterns are entrenched. Or if it's financial or anything, like losing time, getting older, you can think, oh, well, now I haven't got the time. You know, that money's not going to be working as hard for me or whatever. So it's almost always easier today than it is tomorrow. So make it kind of personal, so don't be rude or berating about it. You know, why don't you care about this? Just say, look, this is really important. The thing that I think made it easier for us too is I was coming at it from, I realised my own ignorance.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I was saying, look how superior I am. It was like, look, I've just realised we haven't been doing what we should have been doing. Yeah. And it's kind of shocked me into action, and we need to be aligned on this. You know, the things we talk about wanting, we're never going to achieve. Why don't we? And it was daunting. Like, you know, you didn't necessarily want to do it. We started these conversations and they were kind of overwhelming. And, you know, you can take a break. It doesn't have to be a 2-hour session.
Well, this is the thing. I think it's really important to highlight that this can be an ongoing thing. It doesn't have to be something you sort out straight away. And especially if your partner is resistant to start having these conversations, the best approach is just gently. You know, so if you just mention, hey, you know, I was thinking about our future and I really have been thinking about X and that's important to me. And then they might respond a little bit or be reluctant or not really want to talk about it, but you've planted the seed. Then you can bring it up the next time it seems relevant. Maybe you're talking about your bills or you're talking about the kids or whatever it is. Say, hey, do you remember I kind of mentioned that? Have you thought about it at all? Because I think one thing, if it's a big life decision, like I want to retire in 10 years and we need to save aggressively over this. Like, you can't just spring that on someone, especially if you've not talked about it before. You need to say like...
Oh, and they may not want to.
Well, and you need to give them a chance to think about what they do want. Because like I said, it's so easy to not know.
I think, yeah, planting the seed's the right thing. And you can just say, look, do you know what I was thinking? Maybe it'd be nice if we thought more about our future. Like, why don't you go and have a bath tonight? Just think, what do I really want in life? And then there's no pressure on it. And
it doesn't have to be tonight.
Whatever. Yeah. It needs to be soon. Because what happens, certainly for us, and we were talking about this recently, is if you talk about it and say, oh, I'll do that, it never gets done.
Yeah.
So act on it soon. If it's not tonight, then make it tomorrow, but not next week.
But it doesn't need to be the huge conversation. It's just that starting.
So what does it look like? Oh, yeah, I'd love to live, you know, I'd love to live over there or here or spend more time with, or have 9 kids or whatever. It's that you plant that seed. And then maybe the next day it's, oh, what did you think about in the bath? Did you write any of that down? Like, oh, yeah, do you know, I've really come up with these great ideas. And then maybe I don't know. Maybe it's, I thought, you know, I'm not really sure. I like life just happened to me. But, you know, it's going to be different for everyone. But the point is you have these gentle conversations. The main point is, there's no sort of judgment, there's no anger, there's no, look, you have to do this, it's really important. It may take a little bit of time, but you not only want to be aligned, but you want to kind of come to that conclusion in the right way. You need to come to the conclusion that this is an important thing to get, that you don't want them to be forced into it, because then there's going to be that resentment, and then there's going to be the, I'm only doing this for you, and that's going to get thrown back at you, and they're not going to be fully invested in it. So just take it gently, plant the seed, have gentle conversations, 10 minutes here and there, and then you can say, look, well, how about we each write out just a page of that ideal day? Or how about on Saturday we go for lunch, have a drink, and we talk a bit more detailed about this, and just see where we align, where we differ, and then we can start thinking about how we do that. Because it's once you decide what you want, you do think how, your mind starts to think, how do I get that? And it's a really subtle shift, but a lot of people would say, oh, we can't do that. That's not possible. But if you then ask the question, how do I do that? If you were to tell yourself there's no choice, how do I do that? And you see examples of this. I remember there was this guy in the news a few years back, I think he was in Canada. He cleared his mortgage in like 5 years or something. And everyone's like, oh, that's amazing, I could never do that. And when you spoke to him, he said, you know, it was really important to me, so I made it my priority. What he did was, he lived in the basement, he rented out the rest of the house, so the rental was covering his mortgage, and he was using his own salary that he would normally use to pay the mortgage. So there was just so much money being thrown at it. So it meant kind of, you know, living undesirably for 5 years, which is no time at all.
Temporary,
you know?
Yeah.
And then he's got a paid off house. He can either continue to have those people there and aggressively earn,
mm-hmm.
because it's not paying off the mortgage, just going to his bank account, or he can just, you know, do whatever he wants with that money, but he hasn't got a mortgage to pay for. Or he can kick everyone out and say, right, this house is completely paid for, and my money is now my own. But the point is, it's a temporary discomfort.
Yeah.
But the real point is, he knew that's what he wanted. What most people do, and we include ourselves in this, is we say we want a house and we want a nice house, and that's it. Kind of like, well, we've got this mortgage for X amount of years, and that's how long you work to that goal. I mean, if the bank turned around and said, you've got 10 years, you would have no choice but to clear it in 10 years, right?
Yeah.
You would find a way to do that. it may not be comfortable. And that's the point. You know, he was prepared to be uncomfortable. You don't necessarily have to be. You can tailor your goals to your what you're prepared to do.
And not everyone has a basement to live in, so everyone's situation is going to be different. No, everyone
does. And we've spoken about renting out the house, because it's something I would be more prepared to do than you. And you had valid points. It's like, we haven't got a basement. So you'd be like, well, that means they're going to be living in the room literally next door to our bedroom, and we're going to be in shared spaces, and you know, it wouldn't be as desirable. And then obviously
it wouldn't be desirable at all.
It wouldn't be, yeah. But then it's also, now there's COVID and we don't want,
yeah, like, well, yeah.
But you know, so it's not necessarily the same for everyone. So, if there's a gun to our head, we could find an alternative. It could be, well, maybe we'll rent somewhere really cheap and rent out this house.
Yeah.
Yeah, we would have options. But the point is, he decided that was really important to him, and he figured out how to get there. So if you tell yourself, this is really important and I've got no choice but to achieve it, you will figure out how. Like, your mind is a powerful thing.
Yeah, definitely. But I just think it's really important that you look at these conversations as a marathon, not like you have to figure it out today. Like, you know, all being well, you have your lives, your whole lives to, you know, or a long term, you know, years to sort these things out. Some of them may be shorter term goals. Maybe you want to go on this unforgettable vacation next year. So that means you cancel Netflix, you stop going out to eat, you know, don't get a babysitter, you know, like you find ways to cut corners again for this, maybe for 6 months, so that you can put away enough money to do this thing. So some of them you will need to take action on quite quickly, but I think people can get on board with that a little bit more easily. Something short term, like, we want to go to Hawaii and stay at an all-inclusive resort and this is what we want, and we want to do it next year. We have 8 months to save up the money before we have to pay it all. How can we do that? I mean, we did that with a vacation, and at like our 5-year anniversary trip, we went to this kind of isolated place out in the countryside that was like luxury cabins, and there was only a couple on the property, and you know, it was exactly what we wanted. And we looked at the cost, we calculated it, we took the deposit out of our savings, and then we calculated, okay, so over the next however many months, we need to save this month to pay ourselves back for the deposit. And I think we had to pay the final amount like before we went or something, or right before. So yeah, we looked at that, and that meant, okay, maybe we don't go out to eat as much, or maybe I'm not putting as much towards this other thing that I would normally save for now. And we made it work. And you were talking before about the marathon. A few years ago, I decided I wanted to run a 5K for charity. I decided I wanted to get into running, and I did the Couch to 5K app to train and get myself up for it. And my brother said, well, how are you going to make yourself actually do this? And my brother's really into fitness and has run marathons and climbs all kinds of crazy mountains and stuff. And I was like, well, I don't know. And he's like, I think you should find an event that's in the not too distant future, so that you have to commit to doing this, but gives you long enough, you know, to
make it
to do it. Yeah. And I did. And I found an event that was probably like 4 months, 3 or 4 months away. And I completed the program and I did the event. And I wouldn't have done that or achieved it if I hadn't like committed myself to it and had something that I had to deliver on. And so I think that's why it's so important to have these conversations with one another. Like I said earlier, you hold each other accountable. And sometimes if you kind of do know what you want, but you have no idea how to achieve it, maybe your partner has some insight on that. Or maybe they know that, you know, that some money isn't be coming from somewhere, or a payment for your car or some furniture is going to be ending. And then you have some available income that you could put towards something else you want to achieve. So, you know, two heads really are better than one. So I guess kind of steps for this are, think about what you want. Talk to your partner about it. Give them time to get on board. Think about what they want. And over time, start having these conversations where you start planning it and putting some, just the smallest things in motion. That might mean, it can be the smallest thing of maybe going to the gas station that's 5 miles out of the way, but it'll save you a significant amount on buying gas, so that you have a little bit, you know, you can find these ways. You can cancel Netflix. You can look for a cheaper internet package. I mean, that's something that you're fantastic at. You know, whenever an insurance or a service that we pay for comes up for renewal, every year you either get our existing company to not put it up, or we go elsewhere.
Mm.
So,
but then also, like, you know, if you know that you can only save so much, like,
yeah,
be good at that. there's only so much you can cut back, but people need to understand too that you can earn more money. I don't know what it is about our society, like, if it's an age thing or because we had the recession and we've lived through austerity or what, and it's different in different countries, so some listeners won't really agree with this, but where we are, and it's kind of like, oh, you know, well, it's almost like the average earnings are a ceiling. Like, well, I can't earn more than that. No one else earns more than that. It's like, people do earn more than that, and it is possible, and you have the internet, and, you know, you can... So if you have financial goals and your day job isn't doing it, like we said before, if you think, well, I want to be in this high-paying job, the question is, how do I get there? If you ever ask yourself, how do I get there, you will find it out, because you haven't got to figure it all out yourself. You can find someone to teach you. You can find someone who's achieved it and then talk to them. You can get a consultant and a mentor and stuff.
But you might also see that some of these goals may be too lofty. There may be things that you can't achieve for whatever reason. And at least putting it down on paper and talking about it and looking at the logistics, you can see, oh, actually, you know what? We can't do that. And then you can find the next best thing that maybe is a middle ground and is achievable and is still much better than the path you're headed on, but maybe it's not quite what you imagined. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's all sorts of things. I mean, let's be honest. I was hoping you would be a duke and that, you know, I'd marry and he's not. Okay, guys? Like, full disclosure. He's not, but we can still have a wonderful life and there's other things we can work towards. And it's just talking about, you know, what you want. I mean, we were talking recently about if we would ever want to move from our house in the kind of near to midterm future. And we talked about the pros and cons of it. We talked about the things that we want that we don't have here. We talked about the things that we really like in this house, in this neighborhood that we wouldn't find elsewhere. And, you know, we just kind of, we're shooting the breeze about it. It wasn't are we doing this conversation? It was what do you think? I don't know. Mm. And, you know, we came to the conclusion that actually the only real point in moving would be for us to spend a bit more and get something a bit bigger. We don't really want to do that. I think the only thing we would like a bit different is maybe a bit more space, but we don't need a bigger house. There's certain features to this house that we wouldn't find elsewhere. And so we had to have that conversation though to decide on what the next few years of our lives are going to look like. And then we came to a mutually agreed thing. And then now we know what we want to do to work towards what we have now. And it's just, it doesn't have to be huge things. It doesn't have to be your entire life purpose. It can just be your housing situation for the next 5-10 years, all these different things. So yeah, it's just identifying those conversations and making sure you're on the same page, getting on the same page if you're not, through calm, respectful conversations, and then listing out how you're going to do that together and relying on each other.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you're building the relationship you want, and your relationship will massively benefit from this too.
Mm-hmm.
And you can apply the same principles of what relationship do I want. But, you know, you can go bigger and just, you can work toward building the life you want instead of just having the life that you feel is given to you.
Yeah, or that you're just kind of trodding water. But yeah, hopefully that gives you an idea of how to start these conversations, or if you're already having them, how to get to the next step.
And if you do them, let us know. Tag us in Instagram and stuff and show us like the conversations you're having and what goals you've reached. You know, we'd like to play a part in that.
Yeah, for sure. And maybe we could learn something from it. We're always looking for ways to learn. And I think just the last point, you know, you just kind of said it can make you closer. And I think that's 100% true. And I think it's something that a lot of couples don't do in some ways. You know, I've mentioned to friends or colleagues, you know, conversations that we have, and they say, oh, how does that conversation look? You know, I was mentioning to a friend a long time ago that we used to have money meetings every month, right when we were really trying to find where we could save more and what we could cut down. And this friend said, oh, what do those money meetings look like? Like, what topics do you discuss? And how does that, you know, it actually will really impress people around you. Not that you're doing it to impress people, but it just shows that it's setting you apart. It's not just
that you're impressing them,
it's your inspiring them. And it just shows that you're different. You're talking about things that are going to affect you long term.
You have a relationship that suddenly people think, because all people really hear about other relationships is, like, we've said this before, the complaints, the negativity. He's not good enough at this. He doesn't do that. He doesn't pick up bar from himself.
Or the big gestures that are nice.
And that's what people think is normal. And then if you will be the exception, if you say, oh no, we talk about stuff, we plan stuff, you know, we, as you just said, and it's like, you'll inspire them to think, oh, let me go and try this, and you will be improving the relationships around you as well, you know, which is a wonderful thing.
It's not your responsibility. Your goal is just to do it for yourself, but you know, you will have a positive ripple effect, and then that'll make your life even better and your relationship even better, because you'll feel proud and so on and so forth. But yeah, do engage in these conversations. Let us know how they go, and have a great week. Bye.